we have the Hour of Truth for this December 7th, 2014. I'm Paul Muller. I have Phil Walthall and Scott Bishop on my right and James Uthler on the left.
Left-hand side of the radio dial.
Way out, yeah. Yeah, below the foreign drug traffic channels, yeah. It's the...
Below the what?
Don't worry about it.
That's channel just, drug traffic?
Only foreign, not domestic.
Yeah, right. Domestic has real good UHF stuff going on. The... It's we're hoping for some input to see how our audio sounds. We have been reformatted again, and I'm hoping that it sounds better this time out.
I trust that it does.
Yes, 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 yes. So, what's on y'all's mind? What'd y'all think about our service? What'd you think about Steve's service? And, thank you for that. Tell me what is on your mind. What have y'all seen so far today in the services? Somebody.
Go ahead, James.
I appreciate that, Scott. Well, I mean, there was honestly a lot of good points in both services. One that Steve makes is just inside the ministry, looking at the faults of one another and holding it against them. It is a key issue for us not moving forward as a body. If we're going to hold on to these things, one, it's pride on our own behalf, and two, we can't operate as a body that way. We can't move forward in the Lord. I think it's jointly fitted together.
Well, if you're talking about judging ministers, yeah, it'd be a lot better off judging yourself and emulating the ministers. And that way, at least if they're wrong, it's on them, and the Lord will hold them accountable.
The Lord can work through that and correct the minister.
Yep.
The thing is we're all sinners. You know, some looks worse than, you know, I mean, mine may look worse than yours to you or vice versa, but the truth is, Jesus paid the debt for both of us.
That's right.
And we're not here to judge one another. We're here to lift each other up.
It was interesting that you're saying that there, James. Doing a Bible study with Kat last night, and she was talking about, you know, if I have washed your feet where Jesus washed the disciples' feet, and probably ought to turn there, you ought to do one for another. And part of that washing the feet, you know, is how he said, you know, I just need to wash your feet only because what? It gets dirtied up from the world. The world's cursed. You know, part of washing one another's feet is getting that dirt off one another. I mean, why do you think we have the meetings and the services? It's because we get gunked up. We get our mind filled with unbelief and things that are not of the Lord, and we get hanging on to those things that keep us from going forward in Him. And, you know, essentially a part of the washing one another's feet in that are, in the sense I look at it as, we wash each other with the Word of God. We get cleansed, we get refreshed, we get renewed, we shake off the things that keep us from going forward in Him.
Sure, all those things of the world that have attached themselves to you over the last few days, few hours, whatever it is,
your own mind and your closet, whatever it may be, you know.
Yeah, you get into that service and you hear the Word of God and it's convicting to you. And then you see all of those things that are there, those leeches, those barnacles, you know.
Yeah.
And it gives you the opportunity to pull them off.
Amen. And, you know, it's not to judge one another, as you say, James. It's for us to get free, get each other free of the things that are holding us back.
Right.
Amen.
I mean, you listen to Steve's message. That was a great message for all to hear. That was a good one.
And there was a little bit of chat in the chat room between Davey and Steve about, you know, talking about rebellion, not rebellion, but anarchy in the church, which is rebellion. But we kind of hit around the edges of that a little bit. What is the fundamental state of anarchy is that I can rule myself and I don't want you anywhere near me, you know. I'll rule you too if you don't move. But no third party. I'm not going to entrust to a third party the autonomy over my life, the authority over my life. And that's the whole state of the rebellion of man against God, is that I'm not going to entrust to this third party, although much more intimate third party. He created us, however, a much more powerful third party. But it is the fallen state of man. It is our fundamental rebellious state against God. And what happens is, as you get removed from the pursuit of the truth and the fundamentals of learning His way, Lord's ways, the church gets colder and colder until it is just a social place. It's not the gospel. The truth of God's Word is no longer taught and pursued there. And its state is as rebellious as Satan's was when he said, I too can be like God. I can do this. And he took a third of the angels with him. The same lie he told, the serpent told Eve in the garden. You too can be as God, knowing good and evil.
Sure, join me and rebel.
That's right. So, that is our natural state. And it is our natural state that wants to, it is what we are at war against. Our judgments, imputing motives, evil motives to other people, our tendency to seek to justify ourselves, our need to justify ourselves so we can see how we're doing and compare it to other people. And none of this is the truth of the gospel, and it's why it's foolishness to the wisdom of man. It is that it's not about you. It's about Him and what He did and the completeness of it and the totality of it. It is all you will ever need. It is all you will ever need. And you know, I just sit there and think to myself, that's the best news I could ever have dreamed of, because every time everybody compares themselves to me, they always look better in their own sights, right? You know, I don't win in any of those judgments, right? But that's the way each and every one of us individually is. We always win in those comparisons when we make them in our head. So it really makes it just you against the world, unless you are in Jesus Christ, when it's you and Jesus Christ and the kingdom of God and the power and the goodness a relationship with the living God, that is all you will ever need. It's all you will ever need. It, as Steve was talking about, gives you something to show your family how to do. And is that operating in that kingdom and that showing that you believe, not just believe in God and believe in Jesus Christ, but you believe what they said. You believe the word. And you not just believe it, you appropriate it, you do it. You show them the way. In Jesus' the Last Supper, Jesus breaks out the rag and the water and starts washing the disciples' feet. And he says, I do this now to show you what, how this is done. You're going out as servants to me, and you're going to do this for other people too. And is that it, that that ability to show it to your family, to the people you minister to people you interact with on a regular and daily basis? That is being a doer of the word. And if you are not showing that, you are missing the point. Anybody?
Yeah, one of the things that it says in that, in John there, it says, you know, in John, let's see, 16, which is shortly after the washing of the feet, it says, verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. You know, we want to go about what you're talking about, is going and doing that which the Lord have you do. You put down your will. You put down your way. But, you know, we might not say that, hey, we're greater than our Lord. We might not say that, hey, we're better than him or any of those things. But when we go and prefer our own thing, we're making that greater to ourselves than that which he has us to do.
That's back to who's in charge.
And what's that?
That's back to who's in charge.
That's right. And that was going, and that's what was on my mind when you started, what anarchy was. When you're talking about, you know, I'm in charge kind of thing. And it's not wanting to give up that, that pride of life there. They don't want to give that up, which would be destruction. And you're kidding yourself and you're deceiving yourself if you think you're showing that among, showing the goodness of God when you say you're a Christian and you don't do as he says in those kinds of things, in that area, in the sense of
there's so many of
putting him first and everything. You know, and
there's so many other scriptures come to mind. It's like you say, you can say you abide in him, you ought to also walk as he walked. How many people ever actually spent any time? Lost James.
I know.
Considered. Spend any time actually considering the way he walked and the things he did, he was actually expecting us to learn from. I mean, it wasn't just what he was saying that he was expecting us to learn from. It was what he was doing. And the things he was trying to get his disciples to see over and over again, those were the important points that when we receive him and we have his spirit, then that we can, I think we have you back, James. You there?
Yes, sir.
Good. You are walking as he walked, then you're showing other people how to do what he did. And that's really walking under the anointing. That's what that is.
And what that you're showing unto him is faith in what he has done already.
Right.
And what he has completed and what he has accomplished. I mean, you even take up, going back to the redemptions, because Steve also was hitting on the point of that we can't disappoint God. He knows we're going to mess
up. We're
failures
by nature.
Yeah, we're failures by nature. But he loves us and anyways. And you see that the loving kindness and the character of that nature being shown unto us.
And what you do have the opportunity to please him.
Right. But what you find is how the Lord can redeem the time in some of your biggest screw-ups.
Sure.
And what gets manifested is the love of Christ. That gets glorified. The other thing that gets glorified, when you look at Jesus, what he's able to do in certain situations, what gets glorified is the Lord.
Well, I think that's, Steve hit on where sin is, grace abound.
Right.
I mean, my gosh, our whole lives we've sinned. We still fall into sin. But he hasn't cut us off.
That's part of the ministry of grace and mercy. That's what Jesus is walking as he walked. You need it, so you need to give it. Extend it. And then remember that we're all sinners. None of us walked this out perfectly as he did. Nor can we do that perfectly as he did. Or else we wouldn't have needed him. But we do partake in his grace and his mercy and we profit from his forgiveness for our sin. Every choice we make, every time we make that choice to control our own decisions and control our lives ourselves and walk away from the Lordship. Every decision we make without considering him and how it may please him first is a decision that has
separated us from him.
Separated us. It's a choice to again walk in rebellion, and that I know what's best for me. And that rebellion sin.
What you have here is a set of choices in front of you.
Yeah.
And you choose to believe God. You choose to believe and put your trust in him. You choose all these things. And that's something that anybody can do. Paul, you were kind of talking about earlier about how, when people compare themselves against you, well, they got a great deal there.
There's a lot to work with.
There's a lot to work with is what you were saying. But with and the point that I'm driving at with that is that it doesn't matter your capabilities or incapabilities. You choosing to trust the Lord and to love the Lord and to do as He would have you do as an example to anybody. Doesn't matter what your incapabilities are or not, or how much you know or not, but that you love the Lord. Because, that's just right there. There's a fruit among the ministry that you have. I was kind of listening to the conferences not too long ago, and it was, Steve was talking about him hearing testimonies about Paul's testimony, through his struggles and all these things, that yet, what he turns around and says, God is good. God is good. God is good. And that encourages them, to go forward in the Lord. And so you see that doesn't matter. That, none of those things matter. It's just you choosing put the Lord first. Even if you just fall on your face, choose to put the Lord first. Even if you fell into all kinds of unbelief in a world of just absolute the other end of God, doesn't matter. Turn around, repent, choose Him, because the Lord can redeem all that time. And He's going to redeem the choices that you make in putting Him first. And it's going to be shown. His love and His grace and His gospel is going to be shown. It's going to be out there for everybody to see. And He gets magnified. And He gets the glory. And it just shows others that see themselves as sinners saying, you know what? If He can partake of that grace, so can I.
Amen. And also shows folks that don't know the Lord. Boy, there might be something going on there. Because, you know, if I'm outside the Lord and I'm looking at me or you or Paul or James or somebody and say, wow, I'm so much better than them. You know, I'm comparing myself to folks.
Right.
But why is it that things are working out so well for them? How come they're able to overcome these certain things? How come, you know, this is just working? There must be something else happening here. And it might draw them in and say, hey, Bill, I'm so much better than you, but things just seem to work out for you. What's the difference?
Yeah.
And it gives you a chance to say,
Jesus. Amen. Amen. And it's a good point you say that, because I think there's guys that's been... I don't know. I don't want to talk. That's a different discussion. But I've seen that.
Yeah.
I've seen that at work. I'm just going to say that.
Yeah.
And it really has been that question. Well, no, the only difference is Jesus.
Sure.
And that's all that matters.
That's it. It
really is.
And it opens up that opportunity to share the gospel. You know, to speak with, to say, hey, you can get there too.
Amen.
And you're right. Look at me. I'm a freaking mess.
I'm a moron.
Yeah.
I'm an idiot. You've been around me. I know.
Yeah.
That's the point.
Right.
Because of Jesus.
I'm looking up a scripture here. Of course, it helps to know what the scripture says when you're looking it up.
It does.
James?
Yes?
I was just checking you still with us. You got anything to say, brother?
Well, I think what you were just saying ties right into where Steve was in 1 Corinthians 4. In the sense on verse 15, for though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have ye not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. You know, if you take what you're saying at work or wherever it is, not that you were just telling them, instructing them, they saw the fruit of your obedience. If that makes sense.
Are the fruit of looking on to Jesus.
Yeah, not just telling somebody, say, but doing it. Being the doer of the word. I may be way off there.
No, I don't think so.
But it's that it does bring the gospel.
Amen.
It's not telling somebody and then you doing the exact opposite and them saying, well, Jesus says this, but he does that.
You know, it's interesting what that kind of reminds me of. And it's like, it was one of the revivals back in, a long time ago, and it was at Charlie's place, I believe, where Charlie was talking about where the Satan's sitting there, Satan the accuser's standing against you, accusing him. And when you fall, and it says, count it all joy when you fall into every temptations, is what he was talking about. And how when you fall, there's Satan right there to point you out, call you out. And then, you know, but then when you look and you turn unto the gospel, and you trust on what He has done for you and Him making up the difference, then Jesus looks at Satan and says, see, he does trust me. He is faithful.
Amen.
Because he's faithful in believing me for the promise, for the redemption, mm-hmm. for the mercy, for the washing away of the sin. What you guys are looking up over there, can I help you with anything?
Paul tells the Corinthians somewhere that comparing themselves amongst themselves
is not wise.
They're not the standard Jesus is. Even Paul would be a better standard than each other. But that's still, even Paul's not our standard, really. Jesus is. So.
Oh, amen. I remember it, years ago preaching one day, and I was going, well, shoot, you know, I mean, walked as he walked, and comparing myself to walking as, you know, that's the comparison, Jesus walked as he walked, and I'm going, oh my goodness, better not, I mean, can I take it down some? You know, I mean, we got, how about Davey and Steve and Rick, even those guys are just like, oh my gosh, do you know what I'm saying? it gets to, you know, it's like, so if I don't even do, you know, it's kind of funny that you say Paul the Apostle, because I remember going, shoot, I don't even have to go all the way up to Jesus. I just look around the room a little bit here, and I'm done. Wrong. I'm done. Yeah.
I'm going to have to learn how to point and click. That's an expertise that I have not quite mastered yet.
You'll get there.
You think?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, they put it in the chat, and it was the right verse and chapter, but when I clicked on the search, when I clicked on the program, I clicked on the wrong book, and that's, you know, one of those things that happens sometimes when you're incompetent at what you do.
Huh?
So I did find the right thing, yes. But you were looking at the wrong thing, saying yeah. that I had found the wrong thing. I got you. You want me to go ahead and read it?
Yeah.
All right, we're at 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12. For we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise.
Right. And that's just scary enough by itself. I have struggled my whole life with the concept of the wisdom of what I was doing. I always thought it was like the wisest thing in the world, and it, you know, it turned out when I, after it was done, that it was the stupidest thing in the world. So, this comparing ourselves amongst ourselves when we're not the standards, all that is about, that's somebody seeking to justify themselves by being in better shape than the people they're comparing themselves to.
Well,
you always win in that comparison. That's the whole reason you do it.
Not that much different than what the Pharisees. Not any, you're putting yourself, right. Same self in this category as the Pharisees.
Right.
And quite frankly, it's...
Thank you, sir.
Your mind's a liar anyway. So, I mean, you got going on comparing yourselves among themselves is not wise. And you saying, you know, you always win that one. Because you can win that one no matter, I mean, just by your own mind lying to you, even though it's not even the case.
And most people already have the problem of thinking of themselves more highly than they ought. The tendency to pride, being puffed up, and enjoying that feeling of being puffed up is tough. It's as bad as the tendency that a lot of ministers today have a tendency to stroke people instead of to tell them what the truth is. Sometimes truth's hard. Sometimes it's great and freeing and, but sometimes it's a hard word. But It's like in Mark 10, what was it, 10:17, where he says, Jesus, the rich guy comes and says, what must I do to have eternal life? Or is it, well, you know the commandments. This, that, he says, this have I done from my youth. And it says Jesus loved him and proceeded to tell him that he ain't got any of it right. You're an idolater. Well, that isn't exactly what he said, but that's the outcome of what he said. It says he walked away grieved because he was rich. He had many possessions. Jesus told him you had to sell them all. Give them away. Sell them all and give the money away. Get rid of the possessions. Get rid of the stuff. And he said he walked away grieved because he had many things. He had many possessions. He didn't want to turn loose of them. That's a problem. That made him an idolater. And that's he says he's talking about all the commandments I've kept from my youth. He didn't get past the first one.
Have no other God before me.
That's right. So, you know, it doesn't matter how good you think you're doing in your own eyes. When the Lord sends somebody to you to tell you the truth because he loves you, that word can be hard. But it's a word of life if you receive it. And it gives them an opportunity because he loved them to receive the truth. And we have lost that concept of that being love. Telling people the truth. And we've moved into a PC church. And that's not Presbyterian church. It's
politically correct.
Politically correct church.
The self-esteem.
Nothing, you can't ever say anything bad or negative because that's, you know.
There's another side to that too. Because it was kind of funny, I was talking with Rick this past week, but there's another side of that too is also to commend yourselves. I mean, you know, I can take a look. It's easy for me to go walked as he walked and look at myself. And look at that word, and look at myself, and look at that word, and look at myself and go, there's no hope. There's no hope. Which is a lie from the enemy. Because he can bring you through that. And your ministry is not going to look like others' ministry. But where you can't commend yourselves on this one point where in the fact of you got to trust the Lord and the Lord and the people over you. They examine where you're at. They tell you where you're at. For that person to come to you and give you the truth.
And when that truth comes, and it does hurt, and it's hard, you can't fall into the, that wasn't what I wanted to hear, so that must not be of the Lord, and you know, they just don't get it. They don't understand me. They don't understand my situation. All that is just another lie.
Right.
You know, like this rich man that you were talking about over in Mark 10. I mean, it wasn't what he wanted to hear.
Here's the thing that gets me about what you just said. And then I'll let you get back to rich man. The point about what you just said is, so what if you're right? So what if he doesn't understand? What's that to you?
Exactly.
It doesn't matter. It's the word of the Lord.
Right. And that's where I was going with it.
Yeah.
You know, and that was the truth that you needed to hear at that moment. Right. And because it hurts your feelings, because it hurts your pride, you disregard it. You disregard the counsel of God.
At that point, any sign of justification will work.
Absolutely.
In your own mind. Anything.
The littlest thing.
Yeah.
He was wearing a blue t-shirt, so you can't know what he's talking about. You know
right.
what I'm saying?
Right. Because it doesn't matter. It's not, once again, it's not about the person. Mm-hmm. It's about the Lord. So what if so-and-so at 10 years old comes and gives you something from the Lord?
Praise God.
Right. Praise God. Doesn't matter. It's not about the person. Yeah. Not about the person. But there's that other aspect where you can, and the point I was making, that other aspect about, and you can be examining your judgment of your own self can bring you down to the point where you can't go move forward.
Mm-hmm. And one of the things we talked about, and Steve, was, you know, you can't disappoint God, but you can please Him. Right. Now, when that word comes to you, and you accept it, and you repent of what you've been doing, and you strive to make a difference and to change, that pleases God.
Yeah, amen. Absolutely. Because you're looking at Him and what He's able to do, not, once again, at yourself.
Right.
Because that perspective of judging yourself where you just can't go forward is one of just, all that is saying your sin is greater than God's sacrifice.
Right.
And it's one of error as well. And that's the other side of it.
Sure.
And I bring that because you got one side that people want to justify themselves in the sense of that they're good, and I've kept those things from my youth up. Then you got the others that say, I'm just too darn bad and I can never do it. Both is at fault.
Sure.
There's both sides of that pendulum. There's both sides of that coin. Because it's not about your ability or your inability. It's about Jesus Christ and what He has done. Once again, is what it comes down to.
And both justify them, Phil.
What's that?
And both, they feel justified in.
Right, right. I fall in the error of the other more than the other one. I'm not that capable of much. But still wrong, still dead wrong. Because it's back on Jesus and what He's able to do.
After Paul's gone through all that good stuff in 2 Corinthians 10, and there's some really good stuff in 11 and 12. You know, he takes it to, and I heard a black preacher on TV talking about I'm blanking on his name now. Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton. And, you know, the protests out in Missouri and now all over the country. And this guy said, he invoked this 2 Corinthians 13:5. Examine yourselves, lest you be in the faith. You are putting on a generation that has not experienced the racism and the rioting and the stuff that you did in your youth. The hatred that you had for that system in your youth. And we're tolerating behavior that in that generation we would not have tolerated from our children. You had this 18-year-old kid knock over a convenience store, and when a cop tells him, you know, get out the middle of the street, he tells the cop, go
fly a kite.
It was a rude and irreverent response. Then he goes over to the cop car and proceeds to wrestle him for his gun. You know, my father loved me. My father told me if a cop stops you and says something to you, you speak to him respectfully. And, you know, that kind of stopped me there. I didn't have to get the rest of the speeches. You don't, you know, hit him. You don't wrestle him for his gun. And you don't, you know, we didn't have to go that far. But, you know, my father said you defer to the respect the officer has. You give it to him. He has an authoritative position. I didn't get arrested.
Sure. And what you're talking about, too.
Funny how that works.
Is you're deferring to the uniform.
Yeah.
Right? Maybe not the man.
Right.
Because, you know, men are different and all. But if we put on Christ, we're in His uniform.
So the only thing that they have transmitted from that generation to this generation is the rebellion. The faith that gave them a stance of rightness in their insurrection against the system is gone. It's gone. It's not there anymore. Now it's about perpetuating the system to keep them in power. And that's all that's going on there. There is no gospel message involved in it at all anymore. Although they will pull some scriptures out of context once in a while and paste it around what they do, it has nothing to do with the spirit of the situation. And when I heard that guy, I was man, that's awesome. That's a word for this generation of disenfranchised, whether it be Hispanic or black or whatever.
And that was his message to the people. And, you know, that's a good message. That's actually a prophesying of God's truth there, being told and exposing them where they're at.
Yeah.
And that's one where, once again, I don't care. And it was interesting, and I don't know if this point is even relevant, but what that minister did the night before, I don't know. I mean, in the sense of, I don't care what he was doing, if he was partying out all night long, he got up and gave that message, but it was the truth of God's word, and if you rejected that truth,
you rejected God.
You rejected God, because it's just not about, once again, that person. In fact, what it would show is the manifestation. And, I mean, don't get me wrong. It's just the manifestation. If you see that person as a sinner or whatever that's giving that word or that word of truth, all this is manifesting is the grace of the Lord that you can partake of, even the more so. It's actually a beautiful thing. But that is kind of a side note I was looking at. But But that's what it's about. That's why Romans 13... Read Romans 13, it says, talks about higher powers. I'm talking about the church powers, is because it's talking about, it's not about the person, it's about the Lord. It's always happening.
But anyway, I thought, just, you know, to sum up what the guy was saying was, it's time for you people to examine yourselves, lest you be in the faith. Because it sounds like the message of faith is totally lost in what they're, and what they're about.
And you know, that's what we need to be doing amongst ourselves.
Prove your own selves.
Right.
Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus is in you, except ye be reprobates? You don't want to be reprobate.
No.
Whether you be in the faith, whether Jesus is in you, and you are in Him. If that is not the way this works, then you may be reprobate. You don't have godly instruction. You're not partaking of the divine nature and all of the discernment and the power and the revelation that is available. You can be reprobate and still have many people talking about how pleased they are to be around you.
Well, I mean, who was with Paul? I'm sorry, who was with Jesus at the end? Jesus was the successor for us all, was he not? But his end was death on a cross with one disciple hanging out there. He was not a reprobate. He was the one that gave us life.
That's true. They had one other at the end. He didn't come to the party in the same manner, but he did receive forgiveness while he was on the cross.
Yeah.
But it was, as far as the males of the ministry, the only one that was there was John.
So, you know, you might find yourself, actually, if you are reprobate, then you're going to be feeding other people's pride, yourselves included. You're probably going to attract a lot more people, to be honest.
because that message is a lot more attractive than
the truth.
And the world loves it. And what's the spirit behind the world?
Pride. Rebellion. Yeah, it violated the Pharisees' sensibilities. It violated, today the religious sensibilities that in about how good you can do what you do to be religious. It's about what Jesus did to pay for your sin. It's not about the way what you can do to justify yourself. When that changed the dynamic of faith and relationship to God, changed when you take that out, then that's just a subterfuge to make people feel better about you or you feel better about yourself. It has nothing to do with pleasing God. And it didn't all the way back to the Garden of Eden. Cain thought he could do his thing his own way, even though it wasn't what God said he wanted. Yep. And it didn't work then, and it doesn't work now. There's nothing he could do to justify himself in that place.
And you know what? And if you just look at those two sacrifices for a second there, is what you got Abel offering up a sacrifice that he really has nothing apart in the fact of he didn't have to till the ground for that thing to grow. I mean, basically the animal nursed on its own thing. It did. He had nothing to do with it. He couldn't have done that. You got Cain was one. I worked hard for this. You know, what is our? I mean, it's nothing that we can do to be saved. It's all about what Jesus did. And then it's a free gift.
Yeah,
and we got to receive it. It's a humbling thing. It's nothing on our part that we have done.
That's why it's not an easy received message. It's not one that, not a popular message, because it's a lot more soothing to stroke somebody and tell them, "Oh yeah, that's really good. You got it." That's it. And love them right to hell. That's not love. Not love. Not love. So.
Never mind. I got everybody looking at me. I thought I had something.
Well, we've only got a few more minutes.
Really? What pleases him is just the fact that you believe and receive that gift he's given.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what it comes down to.
Right.
I mean, here's what displeased God with the children of Israel. Here, I'm going to make you a nation, and I'm going to give you the land.
Unbelief.
No, you won't! You're going to kill us. I want a relationship with you. We won't have it! Right. I'm giving it to you. You won't believe me that I'm going to give you this? No! That displeased them. I mean, what on part? It's like we ought to be stupid. Our dad just hands us a huge gift, the toy we've been wanting, or whatever the case may be. Well, I've been bad. I can't take that. I mean, or the other, you know, I don't know, whatever the case may be. No, that's stupid. We grabbed that gift. We were excited. We want to play with it. We don't care if we deserved it or not.
We
want it.
Yep.
That's how we need to be after what the Lord's got His handed out, giving it to us. I can be so stupid with that sometimes. I don't know about you guys. I was so stupid. You eat up with a stupid.
Yeah, I can think back a couple of times where you would eat up with it.
You don't have to go far. You don't have to go far back at all.
I mean, agreeing with you, right? Oh, I know.
He's saying don't agree with him so wholeheartedly.
Yeah, you know.
So quickly.
Can we change the subject now?
me.
Oh, me. How about it, James? You got anything? I can't. Either can't hear him or he's not saying anything.
What's up, James? I ain't hear from you, man.
Oh, he must be MIA.
I didn't have anything. I was on mute.
There he is.
See how you are. I think we've come to a relatively good place to end for this week. One day we might get an hour of truth into an hour, but sometimes...
There's been a few times, Paulie.
What?
I said there's been a few times you almost got an hour,
yeah.
Or that you got an hour. There's been a couple times we almost went over. There's been a few times we've started... Really, like, not until, like, 30 minutes of it, and then we started going. I remember those times, too.
Well, by the time they add in all the commercials and everything, you're going to be... You got your hour.
All right. It looks like we've come to the end. God, it's a merciful end, too. We wouldn't impose too much on the ears of people. Thank you for listening. I hope y'all enjoyed it, and I know we did. And we'll see you next time here on the Hour of Truth. Texas is coming up at the top of the hour. So until next time, may the Lord bless you.
May the Lord bless you guys.
Goodbye, everybody. May the Lord bless you.